Jesus.
Deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
Freedom in the name of
Jesus. Everything I need is in that
power
name.
Power in the name of
Jesus.
Salvation in the name of
Jesus.
There's healing in the name of
Jesus. Everything I need.
Protection in the name of
Jesus.
Deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
Healing in the name of
Jesus. Cross your blood, your tears, your love, you did this for me.
Oh, I went for so long,
wishing I would have been told about how you love me so. I'll stand and testify about the one who saved my life. Nobody greater, and that's no lie. This is what I know and I believe in.
There's power in the name of
Jesus.
Salvation in the name of
Jesus.
There's in the name of
Jesus.
Everything I need. Protection in the name of
Jesus.
Deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
Freedom in the name of
Jesus. Everything I need is in that name.
Oh, I wish I would have known
about the cross, your blood, your tears, your love. You did this for me.
Deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
Healing in the name of
Jesus. Everything I need is in that name.
Oh, I wish I would have known
about the cross, your blood, your tears, your love. You did this for me.
I went for so long,
wishing I would have been told about how you love me.
There's healing in the name of
Jesus. Everything I need.
Protection in the name of
Jesus.
Deliverance in the name of
Jesus.
There's freedom in the name of
Jesus.
Everything I need is in that name.
Tell your neighbor, everything I need is in that name, above every name. Come on, tell somebody. Give them a high five and tell them, everything I need is in that name. Name above every name. Anybody believe that tonight? Anybody been healed by the power of the name of Jesus? Anybody been restored by the power of the name of Jesus? Anybody glad you walked away from a lifetime of sin by the power of the name of Jesus? Ah, what a wonderful day to know him in spirit and in truth. Praise God. Brother Wells, we're so glad you and Sister Wells are in the house tonight, and all the church said amen. We want you to come tonight and just preach whatever God has laid on your heart and tell us what the Holy Ghost is saying tonight. Everybody say, preach to me, preacher.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody got the victory tonight? Praise God. If you have your Bibles, get them quickly. The book of Judges. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. The Holy Ghost is here tonight. Whatever you need, you can have. Whatever you need has already come by. Amen. If we read our Bible and we understand it, much of what God gives us comes past us. And we must recognize it and lay hold upon it. Amen. If you're in your pew waiting on God to just come and get you by the collar and drag you out, take what he wants to give you and just knock you down in the floor with it, it's going to be a long time before you get it. Amen. But the weakest one among us can get out in the aisle and say, God, I want everything you got for me. When it comes by, I'm going to lay hold on it. Amen. You can have whatever you need tonight. It's good to be in his house. It's good to be in his presence. It's good to be with people that love him and love truth. Amen. Judges chapter 6. Glad my wife's here. Give honor to Brother Sutton. Amen. Praise God. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that it pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He said unto him, if I now have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. The angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Wait until I bring an offering. God said, I'll wait. So Gideon brings his offering. And God says, put it on the rock. He puts it on the rock. And the angel burns it up. And then he leaves. And I want to preach tonight with the help of the Holy Ghost, the power of a burnt cake. Amen. The power of a burnt cake. Let's ask God to help us. Jesus, we need you. God, I got to have you tonight. I believe there's somewhere you want to take us. And we're going to go there in the Holy Ghost tonight. God, get us to it. Empower us, God. God, we need victory in this house. We need deliverance in this house. God, help us tonight, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. Would you lift your voice? God, do a work in this house. Work in me, work in me, work in me. Come on, there's revelation going to come to us tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The book of Judges chapter 6 begins with God telling us that he had delivered Israel into the hand of the Midianites. They had turned their backs on him one too many times, and he had allowed the people of Midian to oppress them and to take their living and their riches and their goods from them. And for 7 years, the Bible tells us that Midian oppressed Israel. And the word oppressed is, it's a pressing down. They come in and they keep them from growing and they keep them from producing. And in fact, the Bible said in Judges chapter 6 that these Israelites would plant and they would sow and they would plow their fields and they would put in the work for a harvest. But the Bible said that when those plants would come up, that the Midianites would come sweeping in. And the word the Bible used is they destroyed the increase. Amen. The enemy is oftentimes knows that he's not going to get you and I. He oftentimes knows, Brother Sutton, that he comes against me, he's not going to be able to do very much. But what he does against a church, he doesn't come against the core people. He doesn't try to pull them down. But what he does is try to destroy the increase. The devil's okay with you having good church as long as it doesn't increase. The devil's all right with you praising and shouting as long as there's no reproduction going on, as long as there's no faith mixed with the word preached, and people begin to receive the Holy Ghost, and people begin to be delivered from alcohol and drugs, that's when the devil starts getting nervous. He starts coming against the increase. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of praying for revival and not seeing it happen. I'm tired of looking for the increase and just getting a little bit of it. But I'm ready for the time of revival that every earth, oh God have mercy, preach with me for a little bit. Every little bit of work and every little bit of prayer that we see the increase and we see the reproduction. Amen. It's time for us to rise up and say, enemy, you can no longer have our increase. You can no longer have our fruit. We're going to do battle with you because we want what's ours. I don't want to plant and not reap. I don't want to pray and not see God move and work. Amen. But I'm ready that when we fast and pray, that God responds and people start being delivered and houses start being delivered. And thank my God, have mercy. I'm ready for increase. The devil comes against you. You're the enemy of your soul. He comes against you to keep you from expanding. All right. He's all right with you as long as you just have a little bit. He's all right with you as long as it's just you. But when you start expanding and you start reaching into your family and people start being delivered, amen, you can bet your last dollar that the enemy's going to come against you, because anytime he sees increase, he sees an opportunity to come against it. But I'm telling you tonight, before we're finished, I believe we're going to get the victory over the adversary and we're going to see some increase. Get off of my family. Get off of my friends. Get out of my Bible studies. I'm ready to see increase. So, for 7 years, their increase has been destroyed. For 7 years, they've just been stuck. And when you don't increase, you start decreasing. You can't just hang on till Jesus comes. The Bible said the grave and the barren womb and the earth that's not filled with water and the fire, they can never say enough. Amen. The church never says, hey, we're done. This is as far as we want to go. This is as high as we want to go. No, if you're the true church, you got to keep on consuming until Jesus comes. It's never enough. It's never enough. It's never enough. 100 soul revival's not enough. 500 soul revival's not enough. We got to keep going. So they've decreased to the point that they're impoverished, the Bible says. They're impoverished by the Midianites. And the Bible said that they cried out to God because they were impoverished, because the hand and the heel of the Midianites had destroyed their increase. And so God says, okay, I'm going to visit you. And he goes down to Ophrah. And there's an oak tree there. And the Bible said there's a little man named Gideon threshing wheat behind a wine press. And the scripture says to hide it from the Midianites. I'm not even sure how he got this wheat. I don't know where he found it. Because the Bible said for 7 years that the Midianites have destroyed the increase. But somehow, by hook or crook, Gideon has captured back and kept back just enough wheat to maybe feed his family. Now I want you to understand something. When I get hungry, I go to the restaurant or the grocery store. I don't have to plant. I don't have to have a garden. Amen. If you got a garden, I'm thankful. But I do not have to have a garden. But in the Bible days, if you didn't get a crop, you didn't eat. And so when we talk about the increase being destroyed, we're not talking about the caterpillars got in my garden and I didn't get any tomatoes. We're talking about I might not eat this winter. My family might starve to death. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And so now Gideon's got a little bit of wheat and he's got it hidden in a hole somewhere. You don't thresh wheat behind anything. You thresh wheat up on top of a threshing floor. And you got wheat on the ground and you hit it with these long stem brooms and you break the chaff and then you pick it up and when the wind blows, you throw it into the air and the wind blows away the chaff and the wheat falls down. But Gideon's doing this down behind a wine press. And the Bible says he's doing it to hide it. Doesn't have very much. It's not anything that he can afford to lose. And so he's down behind the wine press. And he's taking care of his wheat. And he's hoping, maybe I can feed my family this year. I don't know how I saved this from the Midianites, but maybe I can feed my family. And here comes the angel of God and says, the Lord is with thee. Thou mighty man of valor. Holy Ghost. Now I want you to understand something. God doesn't have the ability to make suggestions. God can't joke around. Are you with me? Why? Because his voice has power. Brother Dawson and I, he would be the only one that would decide this, can decide that we're no longer going to call this a pulpit. We don't like it being called a pulpit. We think it needs a new name. And so Brother Dawson and I decide that between us, this is no longer going to be referred to as a pulpit. We're going to call it a duck. And it doesn't matter. Watch this. It doesn't matter how much he and I convince ourselves that that's a duck. It is never going to change.
But if God comes in here and says, I think this ought to be a duck, it's going to grow wings and feathers and start quacking, because his voice has the power to make things that are not. Come on, somebody. And so when God comes up to Gideon and says, hey, thou mighty man of valor, he wasn't making up anything. He wasn't saying, that's what I think about you. But he was calling him forth, and that's what he became. Woo, somebody ought to get it in this house. It don't matter how I feel. It don't matter what it looks like around me. It only matters what God says about me. I am who God says I am. I'm not who my situation says I am. I'm not what my friends say. I am who God says I am. Woo! I'm going to preach and get out on a limb here, but just stay with me. Gideon did not believe he was a mighty man of valor. He didn't believe it. In fact, I'll prove it through the rest of this story. He had a hard time even accepting the fact that he was a leader. But God never talks with him again about what he thinks he is. Hallelujah. Gideon said, God said to Gideon, I'm with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And in more or less terms, this is what Gideon said. Who, me? You're talking about this dude? You're talking about this guy that's scared to death hiding behind a wine press? You're talking about this guy that's barely hanging on to feed his family? That's the one I'm talking about. And not only are you a mighty man of Israel, a mighty man of valor, you're going to deliver Israel by yourself. Come on. It don't matter what it looks like around me. It don't matter what even I believe of myself. It only matters what God says about me. In fact, Gideon was so convinced that he wasn't what God said he was, he attempted to talk God out of it. I'm the least in my family. My family's the least in the tribe. The tribe that I belong to is the least in the nation, and the nation's starving to death. Surely, God, you got the wrong guy. But God doesn't even fix his fears. Because once the call of God goes forth into your life, God never revisits your past. Because when he says it, he's not just hoping it's going to happen. He's not just thinking maybe it'll get there. When he says you're a mighty man of valor, that's how he deals with you for the rest of your life. I am who God says I am. I'm not who I think I am. I'm not what my family says I am. I am who God says. Doctor says, I'll never get up. God said, I'm the Lord that healeth all your diseases. Doctor said, I'll never walk again. God said, I'll bear you up. Hey, you need to start believing what God's saying. You need to start believing what he's saying about you. God says, you're a mighty man of valor. You're going to deliver Israel. Gideon says, got the wrong guy, never happened, I can't ever do it. God said, yeah, I'm going to be with you. God doesn't even go back and say, yeah, you're going to do it because I said you're away. God just, once God speaks, it's done. And you might be hiding in a hole somewhere thinking you're the lowest thing on the planet. And God says, hey, you're a mighty man of valor. And for the rest of your life, no matter what your self-image or your self-esteem, God's going to come talk to you about delivering people and delivering nations. And come on, somebody, I am who God says I am. If I can get it in my mind that all of my circumstances and all of my situations don't define me, He does.
Gideon says, Lord, you got the wrong guy. There's no way I can do it. There's no way it'll happen. In fact, Gideon says, Lord, if you're really with me, if everything you're saying is the truth, wait here until I come bring my offering. God says, I'll wait. So Gideon goes, and somewhere he finds a kid goat, and he kills it. And then the Bible says that from an ephah of flour, which we don't really know how much it is, but most scholars believe it's somewhere between a quart and a gallon. That's an ephah. That's a lot of flour. So Gideon goes and he kills this cat, this kid goat, and he roasts it. And then he takes all of that wheat that he was hiding, all of that stuff that he was going to use to feed his family, he goes down in his hole and he gets it up. And it's not very much. And he goes and he grinds it up. And he makes unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. And he gets that kid goat. This is all straight out of the Bible. And he gets those cakes. And he gets the broth from the goat. And he comes back to the angel. And what you have to understand is in all throughout the Old Testament, if you're going to worship God, you had to bring something. All right. David said, I won't offer God that which don't cost me something.
That's right.
That's why we act the way we do in church.
That's right.
Because we're not just cheap praisers.
That's right.
It's what we have. Amen. We don't offer bulls and goats. We offer our bodies. Amen. Living sacrifice. So here comes Gideon. And I want you to just picture with me this, the absurdity of this little compilation here. He's got a cooked goat. And he's got these cakes. I don't know how many he had, but an ephah of flour make a lot of cakes. And then he's got this pot of broth. And he comes up to the angel. And I don't know about you, but when I cook something for somebody, I'd like for them to eat it. Just kind of how I am, you know. I don't want to work all day. And then you cook it, and you turn your nose up and say, I don't really like that. Not all of us are that way. So here comes Gideon with all this stuff. And he's thinking in his mind that this angel may be at least going to eat some of this stuff. And the angel says, and the angel's got a stick in his hand. He says, put it on that rock right there. So Gideon says, well, maybe he's going to eat it off the rock. So he puts the cakes on the rock. He puts the kid on the rock. And he's still got the broth. And the angel says, pour that out on the ground. And Gideon's like, dude, this is the last goat I got. My kids could have eaten this. And you want me to pour it out on the ground? Yeah, I want you to pour it out on the ground. Okay, God. So he pours it out on the ground. And then the angel looks at his cakes and his kid goat, and instead of eating it, he takes the stick and burns it up. And then he goes away.
And Gideon's standing there like,
hey, angel. Do you know how much that stuff's worth? I'm a guy. I've never even made a cake. I offered. This is how I would have been. I didn't have a cheeseburger. I gave you what I had. I would have eaten it myself if you'd have just told me you was going to burn it up. I'm preaching right straight out of your Bible. I don't know about you, but I've been a little ticked off. Because no matter how much we want to act like we got all this humility and stuff, you know, we don't want our offering to buy the toilet paper. See, because all of us in the house that's here tonight, we put our money in the offering, and in our minds, our offering's what pays the preacher's light bill. But really, your offering probably what keeps the paper towels in the bathroom. Amen. And so really what we want is our offering. We want our offering to be front and center. I mean, it's like David said, oh, that I wish I had a drink from the well. And three men run through a troop and go get him a drink of water, and then he pours it out. And then another place, it hasn't rained in 3.5 years. And the prophet said, go down this mountain and bring me 4 barrels of water. It ain't rained in 3.5 years. Where are we going to find 4 barrels of water? I don't know. Go find it. And they find it. Have you ever carried a 5-gallon bucket full of water? Maybe try to carry a barrel full of water up a mountain. And when they get it to the altar, the prophet said, pour it out. And the guy that's got the checkbook said, that water's worth its weight in gold. It hadn't rained in 3.5 years. Gideon said, this food could have fed my family. But what you have to understand is if I can get God to consume my offering in a little while, it's... In a little while, it ain't going to be as important as it was when I gave it, because they poured 12 barrels of water on that altar. And the prophet said, God, I wish I could preach this like I feel it. Amen. There's 12 barrels of water that he poured on that altar. And then he looks at Ahab. He said, Ahab, watch this. They got the sacrifice, they got the altar, and they got 12 barrels of water. This is in your Bible, 1 Kings 18. You can read it at homework tonight. That water was priceless. Hadn't rained in 3.5 years. The Bible said it has not even, the dew hasn't fallen in 3.5 years. And not only was it priceless, it took a lot of effort to get to the top of a mountain. And Elijah says, Lord, if I'm your man and your God, I want you to answer by fire. And the Bible says, watch this. The fire of God fell and consumed the altar, consumed the sacrifice. And then there's a little sentence in there that we don't hardly ever remember. And it says, and the fire of the Lord licked up the water. I want you to understand that when Elijah prayed for rain, he wasn't watching the sacrifice. He wasn't watching the altar. He wasn't watching the rocks. He wanted to know what God was going to do with that water. I preach preaching in the Holy Ghost to you right now. And when the Spirit of God licked that water up, Elijah turned around to Ahab and said, you better get to Jezreel, because he didn't say I hear, he didn't say I smell, he didn't say I see. He said, there is the sound of an abundance of rain. How do you know? Because I just watched it go up. Oh, if I can get God to consume my offering, then I got something to pray towards. We can pray for revival, not because we're hoping, but we watch God consume our offering. I can pray for giving. I'm in the Holy Ghost. The Bible, I want to kill a holy cow here. If anybody here come to church, come to me after church tonight and show me in your Bible where the Bible says, give and don't expect anything. I'll pat you on the back and say, hey, you're the first guy that's ever found it. I've heard all my life preach, Brother Dawson Sutton, that you shouldn't give expecting. You just ought to give, because that's the thing to do. That ain't in the Bible. In fact, I'll tell you what is in the Bible. He said, try me. Give, and I will cause men to give unto your bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He said, prove me therewith, and see that I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't even be able to hold. I'm just going to preach, okay? My wife's about to have another baby. My insurance started just a little bit too late. This one kind of snuck up on us. Doctor said you got to pay it all up front. I said, okay, we'll figure something out. So we got it all saved. Truck messed up. Took it to the place. $3,700 later, I drove it home. So there goes all my baby stuff. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. So we go to church the next Sunday night. My wife hadn't been to the doctor yet. My wife's got this better than I got it, okay? She writes a $200 check. Just because. $200 is not a lot of money to anybody, but it's a lot of money to me. She puts that check in the offering, says, Lord, we need some help. And the next day, not a week later, the next morning, God didn't even let me wake up. They woke me up. He said, hey, preacher, pastor, said, hey, that money you're going to need next week for your child, consider it paid. I'm preaching to you that when something goes up, there's something to pray for, there's something to hope in, there's rain in the atmosphere, because I watch God consume it. And there's victory in the atmosphere because I worship. There's praise in the atmosphere. And so God's about to answer. So Gideon's cakes go up, Gideon's kid goes up in flames. Gideon says, okay, I'm having a hard time with this, God. God says, call some men. I'm almost finished preaching, I think. 32,000 guys show up. The Midianites have 135,000. One guy said their camp looked like a bunch of grasshoppers in the valley. Gideon's got 32,000. God said, everybody that's scared, tell them to go home. Now he's down 22,000, I believe. Then he goes down all the way to 300. God does several other things, you know, the water test and all that. Now he's got 300 against 135,000. Would you like to have been there for that pep talk? All right, boys, what we going to do? And to beat all that, not only does he only have 300, the Bible said they didn't have any swords. And to make matters worse, the Bible said they were a bunch of musicians. Trumpet players. They probably didn't, none of them have on skinny jeans, though. I'm meddling now. He's got 300 trumpet players. And the Bible said to make matters worse, not only they got trumpets, they got little lights. Here we are. I got my light. Got my horn. This is straight out of your Bible. Gideon gets so discouraged. He says, God, are you sure? Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a fleece out on the ground. If me and these guys are going to do what you say we're going to do, I need you to answer something for me. God, I want the morning, the ground to be wet and the fleece to be dry. God says, done deal. Wakes up, ground's wet, fleece is dry. God says, that's what I'm going to do. Gideon says, I still ain't sure. Maybe what caused him to feel that way was one of those guys over there warming up. He says, Lord, I tell you what I want you to do. In the morning, I want the fleece to be wet and the ground to be dry. God says, I got it. Done deal. Wakes up, squeezes out a bowl of water, ground. Here's what I would have prayed. Lord, if you're really with me, and if I'm going to do what you want me to do in the morning, I want all the Midianites to be dead. As long as you're answering prayers, let's pray big ones. As long as you're doing stuff, I'm going to ask for something that's better than a little fleece on the ground. He's still having trouble believing what God's saying about him. God said, you're a mighty man of valor. In fact, the rest of the conversations between God and Gideon are like a general talking to his lieutenants. We're going to be, my God have mercy, we're going to have victory. We're going to wrought a great miracle. We're going to do mighty things. And Gideon's shaking in his boots. I don't see how it's going to happen. He don't believe God on the first day. He don't believe God on the second day of the fleece and on the third day of the fleece. Finally, God says, okay, knucklehead. Since you won't believe me, I want you to get somebody and I want you to go to the camp of the Midianites. And if you want me, and if you won't believe me, maybe you'll believe the enemy. So Gideon gets a guy named Pura. Big tough sounding guy. And the Bible said they go down to the camp of the Midianites. Come on, you're going to be Pura. You bad though. Here we go. You probably got a gun on you, don't you? I like going places with guys that have guns on them. I even like going to church with guys that have guns on them. Hey, we're going down to the camp of the Midianites. Why are we going? God told me to. Well, that's crazy. There's 135,000 soldiers down there. And I don't even have a sword. All I got is my little trumpet. He says, come on, we're going to go see what God wants us to hear. And so they go creeping down to the camp. And they're looking around these bushes. It's in your Bible. And they crawl down to the edge of the camp. And God says, right here. This is right here. This is where I want you, right here. And by coincidence, they crawl up behind this tent. And there's these two guys in there. And Gideon's listening. And he hears one of them wake up. And I'm paraphrasing here, okay? He wakes up. He's a big, got a patch over his eye, rough looking guy. Midianite soldier. He says, hey, dude. That's how the Midianites talk. I just had a bad dream. You're a soldier. You ain't supposed to have bad dreams. I just had a bad dream. I'll tell you about my dream. Tell me about it. Then we can go back to sleep. He said, hey. He said, I had a dream. He said, I see this valley full of tents. And it's our tent. And it's the city. It's the soldiers. It's the Midianite army. And we're encamped in this valley. And he said, I saw. This is straight out of your Bible. I saw a cake of bread tumble out of the mountains. And it hit our tents and knocked them flat. And all of us died. Where did he get a cake of bread? I'll tell you where he got it. He got it from an altar when it went up into heaven and it went up a little cake. But when it comes tumbling back into my world, it's not just a little offering. It's an army slaying war machine. What am I preaching to you tonight? I'm saying there's power in a burnt cake. If I can get God to receive my offering, when it comes back, it's coming back in power. When it comes back, it's coming back in victory. When it comes back, it's coming back in blessing. Jesus has come. Cake of bread. I wonder how he got that. I'll tell you how he got it. God put it there because there was an offering in the atmosphere. And it was. The word tumbled means to change, to convert. It's tumbling. Like a snowball as it tumbles down a hill, it gains mass and momentum. And what starts out as a little bitty spear ends up as a huge avalanche. What am I trying to preach to you tonight? I'm trying to preach to you that when I put my little cake of bread on the altar, when I do my little dance and service, it goes up as an offering and it goes up into the heavens, but it starts tumbling. If I wait long enough, when my offering comes back. So Gideon says the enemy is believing about us, because when he said, I saw this cake of bread, the other one said, it is nothing save the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Gideon didn't even know they knew his name. But I'm telling you, there's some of you tonight. You think you're weak and among us. You think you're never going to make it. I'm the least in my family. I'm the least in my tribe. I'm the least in my nation. But I'm telling you, there's an enemy outside these walls that says if he ever figures out what God really wants to do through him, if he ever figures out what God wants to change him into, my time is finished. My reign is over. My handhold on his city is loosened, because if he ever figures out, that's power. That's power. So Gideon goes back.
And this time, all of a sudden, he don't come back questioning. He comes back with a revelation in his mind. I am who God says I am. I just now figured it out, but the enemy already believes it. I'm a mighty man of valor. I'm a deliverer. I'm a conqueror. I'm a victory bringer. I didn't believe it about myself, but the enemy believes it, and God believes it. I am who God says I am. Goliath said, David, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to tear you into little pieces. But David said, God told me I'm going to be the king of Israel. And God's true and you're a liar. Gideon goes back to his camp. He's got 300 trumpet blowers. But now he don't look at them as trumpet blowers. He says, we're a mighty army. In fact, he was so confident in his army of 300 men, he said, we're going to split up. I need three helpers. Run. But don't trip over yourselves. Come on, three of you. You going to help me? Or are you going to help me? Here we go. I want you to go over there. I want you to stand here. I want you to go over there. We're going to split up. Gideon, we only got 300 against 135,000. We ought to stick together. We ought to kind of... No. You don't understand. The battle's not ours. It's the Lord's. The elements of victory are already in the atmosphere. The elements of a mighty battle, they're already up there. It ain't going to be us. My victory's already won because God received my offering. Here we go. Why don't you get your trumpet? Get your lamp in the other hand. We ain't gonna laugh this time because this is mighty. These are weapons of mass destruction. You may laugh at my little dance, but you just keep laughing because it's a weapon of mighty battles. The weapons of my warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strong. You may just think I'm shouting, but I'm fighting a battle. I'm pulling down strongholds. I'm tearing down kingdoms. Got 100 over here. Got 100 right here. Got your trumpet. Got your light. Turn this way. We're going to face this way. Got 100 over here. 300. Against 135,000. If every one of you can kill 450 before they get you, we got them. Brother, it ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen unless the Lord helps us. But you see, I'm not just coming out here fighting. There's some things that are already in the atmosphere. There's a burnt cake up there somewhere, and it's coming back. It's tumbling in God's oven right now. You see, my shout last Sunday night might have just looked like I was having a good time, but I was sending up an offering. And on Thursday morning when I faced that enemy, my offering come rolling back. I'm still in the Bible. They're split up. 100 there, 100 here, 100 over there. Gideon says, here's what we're going to do. There's a camp of 135,000 down there. And when I give the signal, I want you to break your pitcher. I want you to let your lamps shine. And I want you to blow your trumpet.
seem like much, does it?
We're going to practice one time, guys. You ready?
I want you to get your pitchers ready.
Pitcher with a lamp in it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to break that light, let it shine, and we're going to blow a trumpet. I want you guys to give me a good trumpet, okay? Here we go. On the count of three. One, two, three.
And I did this just so you would do what you just did, because it looks crazy for a man to stand up and blow a trumpet in the face of an army. But I'm going to tell you what happened when they broke those pitchers and they blew those trumpets. The Bible says that the cake come rolling and the camp of the Midianites was destroyed, and it took them 3 days to pick up the blessings. Somebody ought to... I just need him to receive my offering. I just need him to receive my offering.
Yes.
Woo. Some of you getting it. If my offering goes up, there's power coming back. There's power.
Yes. I'm on the same.
Somebody ought to shout. We win. I got a boss.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know we win.
Hallelujah. With us and a half church. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, tonight's the best night I know of for you to get it. If you need a healing, tonight's the best night I know of for you to receive your healing. Here's what I feel in the spirit. How many of you here need something? You need a financial blessing. You need a miracle of healing. You need God to give you some victory. I'm going to tell you something. There's no financial situation you can't give your way out of. And there's no physical situation or spiritual situation you can't praise your way out of. I will tell you something. Praise just ain't about me feeling good. Praise is my weapon. Praise is the weapons God gave me. They're not His weapons, Brother Sutton. They're my weapons. They're not God's weapons. They're my weapons. He's my adversary. But God gave me weapons. The weapons of our warfare.
Here's what I feel. They're about to sing. If you need God to work for you right now, I want you to run to this altar. And I don't know what it is, if you need God to bless you financially, put an offering on the altar and say, God, receive this offering. I want it to go up. I need a blessing to come back down. If you need a healing, why don't you start rejoicing? Why don't you send up praise? If you need victory, why don't you start fighting the weapons of my warfare? I'm about to fight some battles. Yeah, come on, let's rejoice.
Yeah,
come on. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know
we win.
We win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know
we win. Oh yeah.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know we win.
Yeah.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know we win.
Somebody by the hand. Rejoice.
We win.
We win.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know. We win.
Yeah.
We win.
know
that we win.
We win.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody rejoice.
The
they're my weapons. They're my weapons.
Yeah.
They're my weapons. They're my weapons.
We win.
My weapons.
We win.
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 We win. I am who God says I am.
We win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know we win.
Yeah.
Woo. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know we win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know we win.
Yeah.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know we win.
Yeah, we win.
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 I got weapons.
We win.
I got weapons.
We win.
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 Yeah.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know.
Somebody blow your trumpet. Somebody shout.
Yeah,
I got the victory.
We win.
I got the victory.
We win.
I got the victory.
We win.
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 I win.
We win.
I got weapons.
We win.
We win.
I got weapons and they're mighty. They're mighty. They're mighty. I am who God says I am.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that we win.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm winning. No matter what the weapon is,
I want you to know that we win.
We win.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that we win.
We win.
Yeah, we win.
The Holy Ghost is in this house right now. I'm telling you, God wants us to leave with victory. God wants us to leave rejoicing. Here's what you need to know. We don't need to wait for the enemy to tell us who we are. We need to turn around and tell him, I am who God says I am. I may not feel like it. I may not look like it. But I'm a mighty man of war. I'm a mighty man of war. And I'm about to get the victory. I'm about to rejoice. God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. I'm about to get the victory. Come on, somebody praise him. Somebody praise him. We win. We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
Come on, rejoice.
We win.
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 We win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that we win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know.
Shout. Rejoicing. There's a cake in the atmosphere. There's a blessing coming back. Yeah.
We win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that we win.
We win.
Yeah.
No matter what the weapon is,
I want you to know that we win.
Somebody say we win.
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 know that we win.
Somebody say we win.
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 Come on, let's rejoice.
We win.
Somebody praise Him.
We win.
If you need a healing, rejoice.
We win.
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 No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that we win.
Somebody say